caviar.com. Treat yourself to a tasting at home. Introducing Petite Caviar 101. Caviar, truffles, and more. Find the world's best caviar for over 30 years. Sustainable caviar, seasonal delights, boutique grocery, family-owned and operated. Proud to supply the highest quality caviar available for over 30 years. 100% sustainable caviar. Israeli Oyster, Belgian Oyster, Idaho White Sturgeon, Siberian Sturgeon, Paddlefish, Ikira. National overnight shipping, guaranteed national next day overnight shipping, Tuesday through Saturday. Same day, local pickup and curbside for Seattle, ready within 2 hours, Monday through Saturday. Next day local delivery, guaranteed next day local delivery for Seattle, Monday through Friday. Shop grocery for such items like Bellwether Farms Cream Fresh, Betsy's Blink, gluten-free Betsy's Blink, Black Truffle Butter, White Truffle Oil, La Brujula, Yellowfin Fina Belly in Olive Oil, Russell's Original Spice Blend, Truffle Salt, Holsteinware's Mother of Pearl Caviar Spoon, Mother of Pearl Spoon with Blue Handle, Great Barrier Reef Petite Spoon with Pointed Tip, Round Mother of Pearl Pellet, Caviar Presentoir with Sterling Band, Petite Mother of Pearl Caviar Spoon, St. Hilaire Modern Caviar Presentoir, Frusis Saturn Silver Plated Caviar Cup, Homemade Recipes and More, Mink Potato Roasty with Caviar and Cream Fresh, Devil Quail Eggs with Caviar, Blink with Buckwheat. Good morning, hope you had a good week. Here's the U.S. presidential election of 1824. The 1824 United States presidential election was the 10th quadrennial presidential election itself in Tuesday, October 26th to Thursday, December 22nd, 1824. Andrew Jackson, John Quincy Adams, Henry Clay, and William Crawford were the primary contenders for the presidency. The result of the election was inconclusive, as no candidate won a majority of the electoral vote. In the election for vice president, John C. Calhoun was elected with a comfortable majority of the vote. Because none of the candidates for president garnered an electoral vote majority, the U.S. House of Representatives, under the provisions of the 12th Amendment, held a contingent election on February 9, 1825. The House voted with each state delegation casting one vote to elect John Quincy Adams as president. The Democratic-Republican Party had won 6 consecutive presidential elections, and by 1824 was the only national political party. However, as the election approached, the president of multiple viable candidates resulted in there being multiple nominations by the contending factions, signaling the splintering of the party and an era to the era of good feelings as well as the first party system. Adams won New England, Jackson and Adams split the Mid-Atlantic state, Jackson and Clay split the Western state, and Jackson and Crawford split the Southern states. Jackson finished with the plurality of the popular vote and also of the electoral vote due to the 3/5 compromise, while the other three candidates each finished with a significant share of the votes. Clay, who had finished fourth, was eliminated. Adams was the first son of a former president to become president, something later repeated by George W. Bush in 2000. This is one of two presidential elections, along with the 1800 election, that have been decided in the House. It is also one of the 5 elections in which the winner did not achieve at least a plurality of the national popular vote, and the only election in which the candidate who received the most electoral votes from the Electoral College did not win the election. Background: the era of good feelings was associated with the administration of President James Monroe, was a time of reduced emphasis on political party identity. With the Federalists discredited, Democratic Republicans adopted some key Federalist economic programs and institutions. The economic nationalism of the era of good feelings that would authorize the tariff of 1860 and incorporate the Second Bank of the United States for intended abandonment on the Jeffersonian political formula for district construction of the Constitution, limited central government, and primacy of Southern slaveholding interests. An unintended consequence of wide single-party identification was reduced party discipline. Rather than political harmony, factions arose within the party. Monroe attempted to improve discipline by appointing leading statesmen to his cabinet, including the Secretary of State John Quincy Adams of Massachusetts, Secretary of the Treasury William H. Crawford of Georgia, and Secretary of War John C. Calhoun of South Carolina. General Andrew Jackson of Tennessee led high-profile military missions. Only House Speaker Henry Clay of Kentucky held political power independent of Monroe. He refused to join the cabinet and remained critical of the administration. Two key events, the Panic of 1819 and the Missouri Crisis of 1820, influenced and reshaped politics. The economic downturn broadly harmed workers. The sectional disputes over slavery expansion raised tensions, and both events plus other factors drove demand for increased democratic control. Social disaffection would help motivate rival political parties in the near future, though these had not yet formed at the time of the 1824 election. Nomination process. The previous competition between the Federalist Party and the Democratic-Republican Party collapsed after the War of 1812 due to disintegration of Federalist Popular Appeal. President James Monroe of Democratic-Republicans was able to run without opposition in the 1820 election. Like previous presidents who had been elected in two terms, Monroe declined to seek renomination for a third term. Vice President Daniel D. Tompkins had long since been dismissed as a viable successor to Monroe due to a combination of health problems and a financial dispute with the federal government, and he formally ruled himself out of making a presidential run at the start of 1824. The presidential nomination was thus left wide open within the Democratic-Republican Party, the only major national political entity remaining in the United States. The Congressional Caucus nominated Crawford for president and Robert Gallatin for vice president, but only 66 out of 240 Democrat and Republican members of Congress attended the caucus, which was widely attacked as undemocratic. Gallatin had not sent the vice presidential nomination and soon withdrew at Crawford's request. Gallatin was also dissatisfied with the repeated attacks on his credibility made by the other candidates. He was replaced by North Carolina Senator Nathaniel Bacon. State legislatures also convened state caucuses to nominate candidates. Congressional caucus ballot. Adams sought to have Jackson be his vice president running mate, and Louisa Adams hosted a ball in honor of the Battle of New Orleans 9th anniversary. He had supported Jackson during the invasion of Florida, while Clay and Crawford opposed it, causing Jackson to oppose them. Clay supporters in the Tennessee legislation nominated Jackson for president in 1822 as an attempt to weaken Crawford in the state. Martin Van Buren, a political machine, supported Crawford in New York. During the selection of New York's electors, Van Buren was able to deny Clay enough support to prevent him from being eligible for the contingent election. General election. All four candidates were nominated by at least one state legislature. Andrew Jackson was recruited to run for the office of the president by the state legislature of Tennessee. Jackson did not seek the task of running for president. Instead, he wished to retire to his estate on the outskirts of Nashville called the Hermitage. However, Jackson was not one to decline such a request. Results by county explicitly indicated the percentage of the winning candidate in each county. Shades of blue are for Jackson, Democratic Republican. Shades of red are for Adams, Democratic Republican. Shades of yellow are for Clay, Democratic Republican. And shades of green are for Crawford, Democratic Republican. James Monroe, the incoming president in 1824, whose second term expired on March 4, 1825. Campaign candidates drew voter support by different states and sections. Adams dominated the popular vote in New England and won some support elsewhere. Clay dominated his home state of Kentucky and won plurality in two neighboring states. And Crawford won the Virginia vote overwhelmingly and polled well in North Carolina. Jackson had geographically the broad support, though there were heavy vote competitions in home state of Tennessee and in Pennsylvania and populous areas where even he ran poorly. Policy played a reduced role in the election, though positions on tariffs and internal bourbons did create significant disagreements. Both Adams and Jackson supported back Secretary of War John C. Calhoun of South Carolina for vice president. He easily secured the majority of electoral votes for that office. In reality, Calhoun was vehemently opposed to nearly all of Adams' policies, but he did nothing to dissuade Adams' supporters from voting for him for vice president, partly because he was even more vehemently opposed to the prospect of a Clay presidency, and partly because he had a long-standing personal enmity with Crawford. Hunters of Kentucky. The campaigning for presidential election in 1824 took many forms. Contrafacta, or well-known songs and tunes whose lyrics have been altered, were used to promote political agendas and presidential candidates. The song kept featuring Hunters of Kentucky, and a tune written by Samuel Woodward in 1850 under the title The Unfortunate Miss Bailey. Contrafacta, such as this one, which promoted Andrew Jackson as a national hero, have been a long-standing tradition in presidential elections. Another form of campaign during this election was through misprint. Political cartoons and partisan writers were best circulated among the voting public through newspapers. Presidential candidate John C. Calhoun was one of the candidates most directly involved through his participation in the publishing of the newspaper, The Patriot, as a member of the editorial staff. This was a sure way to promote his own political agendas and campaign. In contrast, most candidates involved in early 19th century elections did not run their own political campaigns. Instead, it was left to volunteer citizens and partisans to speak on their behalf. Results. The 1824 presidential election marked the final collapse of the Republican Federalist political framework. The electoral map confirmed the candidate's sexual support, with Adams winning in New England, Jackson having a wider voter appeal, Clay attracting votes from the West, and Crawford attracting votes from the East and South. Jackson earned only a plurality of electoral votes. Thus, the presidential election was decided by the House of Representatives, which elected John Quincy Adams on the first ballot. John C. Calhoun, supported by Adams and Jackson, easily won the vice presidency, not requiring a contingent election in the Senate. Jackson's Electoral College plurality was a result of the three-fifths of compromise. The Electoral College results would have been 83 for Adams and 77 for Jackson without the inflated electoral count of slaveholding states. Crawford likewise benefited in this regard, as all but eight of his electoral votes were from slave states, while Clay's electoral votes were split relatively evenly, 20 from the free states of New York, and Ohio, 17 from slave states of Kentucky and Missouri. Without the three-fifths compromise, Crawford would have finished last in the Electoral College, and Clay would have entered the contingent election at his expense. Electoral votes for president, 1825 contingent election. As though presidential candidate had won the absolute electoral vote majority, the responsibility for electing a new president devolved upon the U.S. House of Representatives, which held a contingent election on February 29, 1825, as prescribed by the 12th Amendment. The House was limited to choosing from among the three candidates who received the most electoral votes, Andrew Jackson, John Quincy Adams, and William Crawford. Henry Clay, who had finished fourth, was eliminated. Each state delegation voting in bloc had a single vote. There were 24 states at the time. Thus, an absolute majority of 13 votes were required for victory. Clay detested Jackson and had said of him, "I cannot believe that killing 2,500 Englishmen at New Orleans qualifies for various difficult and complicated duties of the chief magistrate." Moreover, Clay's American system was close to Adams' position on tariffs and internal privileges than Jackson, even if Clay had wished to align with Crawford over Jackson, which was highly unlikely in any event, since Clay's policy differences with Crawford were even deeper, especially on matters of the tariff, and the fact Crawford had been in poor health, no path to victory was evident. Daniel Pope Cook, Illinois' sole representative, was anti-slavery and gave his support to Adams. James Buchanan attempted to make a compromise with Clay, in which Jackson would make him Secretary of State in exchange for his support. Clay instead gave his support to Adams, was able to have the Kentucky, Missouri, and Ohio delegations support him. Illinois, Louisiana, and Maryland, which Jackson won during the election, had their delegation support Adams. Van Buren attempted to have New York's delegation be divided between Adams and Crawford in order to increase his power and make a deal with one of them. However, Stephen Van Rensselaer, a Federalist allied with Van Buren, voted for Adams. Van Buren stated that Van Rensselaer found the bill for Adams on the floor, while Van Rensselaer, in his letter to Governor DeWitt Clinton, stated that he voted for Adams as he was bound to win, and that he wanted to shorten the long agony. Van Buren supported Jackson during the 1828 election and aided in Calhoun's selection as vice president. Ignoring the non-binding directive of the Kentucky legislature that the South delegation chooses Jefferson, the delegation voted 8-4 for Adams instead. Thus, Adams was elected president on the first ballot with 13 states, followed by Jackson with 7 and Crawford with 4. Aftermath. Adams' victory shocked Jackson, who, as the winner of a plurality of votes of public and electoral votes, expected the House to choose him not long before the contingent House election. An anonymous statement appeared in a Philadelphia paper called the Columbia Observer. The statement said to be from a member of Congress essentially accused Clay of selling Adams his support for the office of Secretary of State. No formal investigation was conducted, so the matter was neither confirmed nor denied. When Clay was indeed offered the position after Adams was victorious, he opted to accept and continue to support the administration he voted for, knowing that declining the position would not have helped him to dispel the rumors brought against him. Jackson referred to Clay as the Judas of the West. By appointing Clay as Secretary of State, President Adams essentially declared him heir to the presidency, as Adams and his three presidents had all served as Secretary of State. Jackson and his followers accused Adams and Clay of striking a corrupt bargain, and the Jacksonians would campaign on this claim for the next 4 years, ultimately helping Jackson defeat Adams in 1828. Ironically, Adams offered Jackson a position in his cabinet as Secretary of War, which Jackson declined to accept. Adams supported and controlled the U.S. House of Representatives after the 1824-25 election and obtained the speakership for John W. Taylor. Adams' relationship with Calhoun deteriorated, but Calhoun opposed his Clay appointment as Secretary of State due to his own presidential ambitions. In June 1896, Calhoun gave his support to Jackson for the 1828 election. Thanks for listening to this episode on the 1824 U.S. presidential election. Have a good week and stay safe.